Gentlemen, thanks for joining us this morning. After leaving Victor Lane, maybe a change of clothes, what did you guys end up doing last night?
We got crazy.
We're running the streets. Hey, we all got hammered. That's a joke. That's a joke. No, we did. We did. You know, a tradition started with our very first win ever was the Daytona 500, our second year. We got lost, couldn't find winner's circle, wound up grabbing the trophy, didn't know you go to Media Center, pull out on the road, head north. JD and Coy are in the car, and they said, "Hey, Dad, we're starving. Let's hit Steak and Shake." And so we spent 30 minutes in the parking lot of Steak and Shake with the fans. It was awesome. And so it was a tradition that started. So we won the second one. We went to Steak and Shake last night. We were there just raising Cain.
I was on that same agenda.
Yeah, we'll go with that. I think you would honestly get some more exciting stories if you asked some of those guys over there. But for the three up here, very similar story.
So you guys did go to Steak and Shake, but you didn't go alone. It was just three of you, and what else did you bring into the restaurant?
Well, we wound up with all the guys. I think Chris was late because of NASCAR and the teardown, all that kind of stuff. And so he was late. Denny got there, and so we had
just in time for Joe to pick up the bill.
Yeah, I picked as usual. But I think, we wound up with pretty much our whole group, and I think we had a bunch of fans, too, that kind of knew that we were going to be there, so that was fun, too.
Let's open up the questions for our champions.
Godwin Kelly, News Journal. When Austin Dillon won last year, he got a tattoo on his butt. You guys going to do that this year?
Yeah, I got one.
Hey, that's the part of the story Joe didn't want to tell you last night.
Not me. No. I'll see Austin Dillon a little bit later today. So we kept it in our hoop group the last couple of years. So no dog howling at the moon on my rear end for sure.
No.
Claire Belang, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Your team is right here. I've spoken to a lot of them, but your team
smell?
Is. Well, they look pretty rough, but they smell okay.
God damn. You guys look rough. That's awful. Listen to her.
Just kidding. Really, just kidding. And, your team's sort of soft-spoken. In past years, people have said that, underrated maybe. Now, leading off the season, winning the Daytona 500, bam, right up there. How do you think that will be different than 2016, the attention you'll get, and maybe your team will not be underrated now for the season?
Yeah, I think that this is a new group of guys. I'm still learning everyone, so bear with me a little bit. But Chris is doing a good job of keeping me, really prepared through the season. Giving me a lot of information to download each and every week, and really assembling this group of guys. This is a very, very strong team. I went out and watched them practice a little bit a couple weeks ago. Just a really strong group, and really the AMB team, revamped in a lot of different ways, and so. This is he's got his hands all over this team and proud to get him a win in their first shot out here with our team anyway.
Is it different than 2016?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot different in a lot of different ways. 2016 just happened so quickly. We're in the midst of a long green flag run. Laps were just clicking down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Race is over. And the chaos of the final laps, and then with this one having so many cautions, so many red flags, it was just everything just was happening slower. And so I knew what I needed to do, so therefore I was kind of relaxed. These guys' jobs were done pretty early in the day. We had to kind of mix up some things to help with a little fueling issue that we had, but really after that we kind of got back on track and things went as well planned for us.
Good morning. Congratulations again. Denny, I wanted to ask you,
What was the first? Who was the first person to leave a message on your phone congratulating you? And who did you perhaps hear from that surprised you, or that we may know? You know, maybe somebody from other sports or anything like that. But something that kind of stood out to you in terms of a congratulations afterwards. And Coach Gibbs, you could answer that as well.
Yeah, I don't know about the first. I always look at the first to make sure the timestamp is like actually after the race, because if they early call and you don't win, that stinks. And I've had that happen before. Congrats. It's like, oh, yeah, I lost on a green, white, checkered. I'm not sure the first, but, I mean, you know, several different guys from the sports world. Charles Barkley actually texted me just a few minutes ago, and Michael Jordan last night. Obviously, he had a big night in Charlotte, but at 9:30 while the game's going on, he sent a text out, and it's his birthday last night as well. So a lot of really cool guys that I've gotten to meet through different celebrity tournaments and things like that, but guys that are, you know, first class and have, you know, always been super nice to me.
I'm a big technology guy, so I get a lot of stuff. I'm not sure who texted me. I'm not sure anybody did. No, that's not true. No, I did. I got a bunch of, and it was really interesting. I'm really glad we got our guys here this morning. Chris did a great job in the interviews and everything last night talking about the team. You know, and everybody back at the shop, you know, tomorrow we'll get everybody together there. I hated the fact that they don't get to celebrate with us and all when we have a night like we had last night. But the guys here this morning, and Chris was talking about it, we got great people. And, you know, if you've been to our Christmas parties, we're giving out 20-year awards. We got a lot of people been with us for a long time. And it's, you win with people, and this group here, you know, have all the things that we did in the off season, the changes you make. The thing about pro sports, it's always changing. You're trying to get better, and that's what we were doing. And to have them step out like that and win the first race, I mean, it really, Denny said it right. We just got great people there, and you can really lean on them. And we've gone through a lot the last month with everything that happened with us. And so I really appreciate all the guys that stood up and went after it last night.
Doug Turnbull for WSB Radio in Atlanta and PRN. I guess this question is mostly focused at Chris, but if either of you want to chime in, that's great too. Do you, as you prepare for the Daytona 500, and I know how meticulous, and Denny, you even said last night how meticulous Chris is with detail, do you actually bake into your plans as you plan for Atlanta, what if we win the race and I lose Denny for 4 days going on a media tour, and then how the team is, and then we have to stay late on Monday? Like, how do you – is there an ulterior plan, or do you just win and then go from there?
Yeah, I think Denny would be mad at me if I baked in winning. You know, we didn't bring suits or pretty clothes planning on doing any of this stuff, right? But, you just try to execute each and every day, and the neat thing about what we do and why I enjoy it so much is it's always changing. You know, the variables are constantly changing, and this is one of them. Yeah, you want to be sitting here in the morning, but there's 35 other guys trying to do it too, and you realize that it's tough to do. So we'll adapt. You know, that's what you do when you build a fine group of people who's capable of getting their jobs done. We'll adapt as we always do, and we'll be just as prepared for Atlanta as we were for Daytona. And I look forward to going there and getting started with the new package as well.
Bob Parkhurst, Fox. Denny, I think you've talked before about how the championship is kind of the last thing on the bucket list for you. How much does winning this now a second time make the championship kind of quest? Does it add more fire? Is it like, okay, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be? How do you look at that?
I just put in all the work I can to get it done, and hopefully it happens. You know, it's something I could be done now, and I'd be totally content with everything that I've accomplished. So I'm not gonna be burdened by any, you know, thing hanging over my head of not accomplishing this or that. I've already accomplished way more than I ever thought I would, but I do this because I'm passionate and competitive, and I want to win. And, you know, the championship is obviously the number one goal over anything that that I do in my professional career. So I know that it's not going to come easy because I've got to beat some of the best guys out there and some that are probably more talented. But certainly that means I just got to work a little harder to make that happen. I've had a few opportunities. Some, you know, have slipped away. Others, you know, just have not been our year. But certainly, you know, it won't be because of lack of effort on my part, for sure.
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport Magazine. Two parts here. First for Denny, kind of tailing off from what you were just saying to Bob. There's a very select group of drivers who have won this thing more than once. Do you feel like it sets you apart in a way? And then Coach, obviously you've got three of them, but he's won two of them for you. How special is that to have a multi-winner of this race, you know, on your roster?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's definitely a select group, and you know, there's been a lot of guys that have won one. You know, two is means you put yourself in position more than once to do this. And you know, just talking to Matt Kenseth, you know, just a few minutes ago, and he's like, "Man, this, if I'd known you were going to win another one, it makes me even sicker." The one that, you know, that in 2016 that he had a chance to win. And I said, you know, I said, yeah, I'm sick about the one I gave away last year by choosing the wrong lane on the final restart. It's just, it's about putting yourself in position. And really it took those past failures of making the wrong decision to realize that I needed to make the right decision this time around. So, you know, obviously when you win it twice, that means you're up there consistently. And, you know, it's proud to know that when we go to these super speedway races, we usually put ourselves, you know, in position. As long as we don't get in a wreck. But, you know, sometimes that stuff happens.
I think for me, I think we all know that a certain number of those drivers have a gift for Speedway. And I think Denny, from the very beginning, his very first win for us was the Clash. And I still remember back to that emotional thing with FedEx. And we just put Denny in the car. And so, but I think consistently, I kind of feel like, with Denny and his ability at restrictor plate, some guys just have a feel for that, and I think he has it. And he's given us opportunities. I think, what, 9 wins or something at here at Daytona, something like that. And so I think just some guys have a gift, and it's, you know, it's great to see.
Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net. Denny, I know you're a gambler. I don't know about Chris, but does this give you guys a chance to strategize, knowing that you're locked in, knowing that you can take some chances and get just go for more wins throughout the rest of the season? I mean, this is first race, but you're there.
Okay, he's the first one to tell me a month ago we're going to be going for it all the time. So this is before.
We didn't take any tires that last stop when everybody took tires. So yeah, we're going to put it up front when we need to, and then put it on his back the rest of the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly of the same opinion he is, that it's about race wins and certainly getting all the points that you can going into the playoffs. That's very, very important. Something that we've lacked at the 11 team over the last couple of years with this new format is, you know, not being, you know, a race behind before you even start the playoffs. That really puts you in a bind and puts you in a situation like Martinsville a few years ago where you have desperate times and decisions that you make. So I think that, you know, hopefully this is a step in the right direction and we can build ourselves up.
Mike Neff from frontstretch.com. Denny, a couple of them for you. First of all, you said you were so focused and relaxed late in the race that under the red flags you actually fell asleep. Did you get awoken by the engines firing off, or did your spotter have to wake you up?
No, I usually get waken up when the spotter says, all right, fire them up, you know, because nobody's really saying anything in the radio for a while, and it's good quiet time, to be honest with you, and it's warm in there. It's everything's good. I don't know why. I under the most pressured time, I always fall asleep a lot. So,
and my second question was, FedEx has been with you forever, and we had a lot of talk last night about family in this sport. What does it mean to you to bring a second 500 win to them as part of your racing family?
Yeah, I mean, they've been such a great partner of JGR and myself through my entire career. FedEx has been great, and you had a new CMO here yesterday, and she got to enjoy Victory Lane in her first race, which is fantastic for us. We told her it's going to be like this all the time. It was great to have all your partners, that head of your manufacturers, Toyota and FedEx, that are there to get to enjoy it with you. It's always more fun because this is the race where all the big wigs from your sponsors usually show up to. So it's a fun one to win.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. Denny, you said after you won this race in 2016 that it gave you a big win recognition. You felt like you hadn't really done anything at that point. So I guess this kind of piggybacks off of Jacob's question, but having two now, does that do anything for you going forward?
Yeah, I certainly think it validates the first, even though the first I know it's not luck, but there's been a lot of one-time winners of different races, and not just the Daytona 500, but sometimes circumstances allow you and almost hand you wins at time. But certainly, if you win a couple, that means you've put yourself that's a skill thing, that you've put yourself in that position multiple times. So I think that certainly is validating for sure. There's still some big ones. The Brickyard 400 is one that that slipped away at the end of last year that really pierces me pretty good, that would love to win that one, and obviously the Coke 600. I still got a lot that I want to accomplish and got plenty of time to do it.
Claire B. Lang, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. Where are you going now? What clothes do you have with you? You're going to go on Michael Strahan and Kelly Ripa's show. Is that right? Do you know what you're doing?
I don't know the schedule yet. The fortunate thing is for us, thank you, NASCAR, is that they're going to allow us to go home for a little while and pack up and head up there tonight instead of heading directly there today, because today, 2 years ago, was miserable for me. So
because? Explain it. What happened?
Because the night before, but now I understand this is not my first time, and luckily for me, I've been fighting a bit of a cold, and so I was like, I think I'll just turn in after the Steak and Shake blowout last night, and so I learned my lesson. And then to hear that we get a little bit of time to go home, kind of pack up and go, it's definitely better for us, for sure.
So you'll fly home and then you'll grab your clothes and then tonight
go tonight afterwards.
We'll be watching.
Thank you.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Denny and Chris, I'm just curious about how things built up this week to yesterday's moment. It certainly seemed like, obviously, Denny, you guys have always been strong in your plate success. You were certainly somebody seemed to watch, but maybe not the top headliners. How was the week going? What were the challenges? Did it seem like it was building toward this, or is it a case where you've had years where it feels like it is, and everything goes awry on race day? How did the week kind of build, and the challenges and clues to maybe what would have happened on Sunday?
Well, really, it seems like, it's actually pretty odd any year that we don't win something in Speed Weeks, whether it be like the Clash or a Duel or the 500. With winning here, nine times, I've been here 14, so it seems like, every year we're winning something. So not having, not winning the Clash, not winning the Duel, maybe a little bit under the radar, but certainly we knew what we were capable of in the Duel, especially. We were up there. Eric had some issues and was a lap down early, but we were kind of just by ourselves amongst that pack of Fords, and so I knew my options were kind of limited on what I was going to be able to do at the end of that race. But we put ourselves in position nonetheless, second on the final lap, before we got passed. So we really didn't have to do much to the car, honestly. They came pretty prepared with a car that was handling well. It had, minor issues in the race as far as handling is concerned. Looking at the competition, it looked like everyone had their hands full. So it just was a lot different track conditions than what we had practiced in. But we were, pretty confident in past notes and through the races that we had already run that we were going to be fine for the 500, especially this race ending usually at dusk at night. The track grips back up again, and so you just got to survive to that point.
Yeah, well,
The first 2 days were probably a bit of a rookie crew chief hazing, where we you know, getting two cars through tech, and you're trying to manage the two cars, and they're on different schedules, and you know, you got extra guys down trying to manage that, and you're establishing tech baselines, and then, you know, we wrecked the car in the clash, and now we got to get our backup car out and get it ready, and so all that was rough, but again, I just can't say it enough, like. It's cliche, and I found myself sounding like a broken record, but it's because I mean it. You have such good people behind you, not only here, but at the shop. And I just wish you guys understood how much that means to have that level of depth, because we never missed a beat. You know, we got a car out that was just as good as the one we wrecked or better. The guys knew exactly what they had to do. I wasn't forced to micromanage projects. Everybody's a specialist, and they all just jump right in and do their part. So the train got right back on the tracks, really, with no issues at all. And then fortunately, you know, Sam and Ryan come with a really good game plan on the car setup, and it was just minor tweaks and setup-wise. And we really got right back on schedule. And like Denny said, with the duel, our hands were kind of tied, but we knew then we had a great shot at winning the race. It was just going to come down to circumstances, and fortunately it worked out.
For our final question, gentlemen, to your far left.
Christian Coley, the Motorsports News Source. Denny, Joey Logano talked about it. That he's giving the team the championship trophy for a few days to enjoy it how they want to do it. Are you going to give the team the same opportunity with the Harley J. Earl?
Yeah, sure. Joe, you can you have one, right?
I
think
so.
Yeah. I don't mind for sure. It'll definitely it'll come back home tonight. I know that for sure. And then it'll probably make its rounds at the shop for a little while. I know we had it on the shop floor in 2016 for a couple days. Kyle may come by and knock it over, kick it over or something, but I think it'll make its rounds, and everyone you know, can take it however they see fit, I guess. Beats me.
You know, I'll turn things over to our track president, Chip Weil.
Well, as part of the Daytona 500 tradition, there are a couple of things that we have to get out of the way. First is the leather jackets. So if y'all don't mind, come over here. Okay. We'll present you with your leather jackets. All right, Coach. So yesterday, Mr. France in the driver's meeting talked about family, how NASCAR was built on family. And Joe Gibbs Racing is built on family. And the thing that attracts me to the sport the most is when adversity hits, the NASCAR family rallies. And to be able to see how the NASCAR family has rallied around the Gibbs family over the last 30 days has been something that we're all really proud of. And finishing 1, 2, 3, I think, yesterday, that was a sign, right? So it is my honor and privilege to present to you your third Harley J. Earl Trophy. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so
yes,
much.
Sir.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, Chris. You've entered an elite group here, right? Right. So, Dale Inman, right? Ray Evernham, Chad Knaus. I can tell you, I don't think any of those guys have done it on their first try. So, it is my honor and privilege to present to you the Cannonball Baker Trophy. All right, Denny, you've gotten some really cool hardware over the last day, but in my opinion, the coolest thing that you get, well, not the coolest, one of the coolest things you get is this Rolex Cosmograph Daytona stainless steel and gold from our great partners at Rolex. All right, we got one more piece of business, Denny. You did get one in 2016, but it was a stainless steel. This is like a nice little surprise for you, man. You didn't know you're getting it. I forgot. It's because you maybe, this is why not drinking the night before is a good idea, right? All right, we have one more piece of business. So the final tradition of this breakfast is unveiling the logo for 2020. So the Daytona 500 logo for 2020 is behind this, and we will now present it.